Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services.
It tells us in John that the disciples, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Wait a minute. They had heard it, but they didn't know it. I mean, when someone asks me and they say, how do you know that God is talking to you? And it's kind of hard to explain. Because God knows how to talk to us in our knower that's somewhere inside. I'm not sure where it is, but the Holy Spirit knows how to talk to us. In fact, John says that his sheep hear his voice. And so somehow their hearing was not working. Their spiritual hearing was not working well, and their remembrance was not working well. For as yet they knew not the scripture. They had heard it, but they did not understand it. So the disciples went again into their own home, John tells us. And then we have Mary Magdalene. And she's weeping at the tomb, John tells us, John 20. She stooped, she's weeping, she looks into the tomb, she beholds two angels sitting. Do you see the angels are not all in the same place? So these angels weren't like just posted there. They were positioned slightly differently when Mary arrives. And so she sees the two angels. This is John chapter 20, verse 12. One at the head, one at the feet where the body of Jesus lay. And they say unto her, woman, why are you crying? Why weepest thou? And she said, because they've taken away my Lord. And I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and the scripture says that she beholdeth. She saw Jesus standing. But she didn't know that it was Jesus. Now wait a minute. How could she not know it's Jesus? She's known him for 3 years, maybe, or a better part of that. How can she not know him? Because in her mind, her circumstances had become more real than her remembrance and her faith. Let me say that again. At this moment, her circumstances and her remembrance is stronger than her faith. She's seeing him, but she's not getting it. Like the disciples, they heard, but they're not getting it. And so, Jesus does something a little more personal, doesn't he? He becomes very personal with her. And he speaks to her. Jesus said unto her, verse 15, John 20, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposes him to be the gardener, and she said unto him, sir, if you have borne him, if you've taken him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will go take him away. And then Jesus does something that's really personal. He gets right to the heart of the matter and says, Mary, Mary. I don't know how Jesus said Mary. I don't know if he said Mary. Or I don't know if he said Mary. I'm not sure how he said it, But however he said it, when he said Mary, she knew that no one said Mary like that except Jesus. And let me tell you, you know this, it's not a secret. When you already know that when my mom would call, she would start with saying, "Jonathan, Jonathan, dinner." About 10 minutes later, "Jonathan, dinner's ready." Third time, things started changing. "Jonathan, David, dinner is ready." I still didn't come. It got more serious. "Jonathan, David, McLean, dinner is ready. Come or you can go without." And then I came. Now, I don't know how Jesus spoke Mary. I don't know how he said it. But however he said it, it was real, it was personal, and it cut through all of her doubt and all of her questions. And I want to just stop here for a moment. And anybody that's watching or anyone that's in this room or anyone that may hear this message, if you question whether or not Jesus is alive and you question whether or not God is real and you're questioning whether or not there is hope for the future, I would ask you to pray a simple prayer. Call me by my name. Speak into my life. I want you to reveal who you are to me. And that's a prayer that God knows how to answer. He knows how to answer that prayer. Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," master, teacher. That is to say, "Master." Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, I'm not yet ascended to the Father, but go unto my brother and say to them, I ascend to my Father." Okay, so the first group that took the message from the angels and said, yes. Couple disciples run to the tomb, it's empty, and they say, yes, he's risen. But now we have someone who has a personal encounter. And this is why you and I need to be witnesses. Because there is no witness like a personal encounter witness. So now we have a personal encounter who says, "I know, I saw him, and he called me by name." And you're going to think, now they all get it, right? Now it's going to be real easy for them, right? Not really all that easy. "I've seen the Lord, how that he had said, he said these things unto her." Well, then we have the appearance of Jesus to the other women. Guys, are you starting to see that, you know, our ladies may see things before we do? I don't even like this, but it's true. And my wife is so kind with me, you know. She doesn't just say, "You idiot," you know. You know, when God shows me something, I know what I'm talking about. And how many times have I had insight and you just wouldn't hear it, you know. But we at least ought to look at the Word of God, guys, and see that the women got it first. And even with Mary, look at Mary. The angel went to Mary first. That seems to me like you're cutting authority. You should have went to Joseph first. But I believe Mary was the one that had a heart to receive. And ladies, I have to commend you this morning. Many times you have a heart to receive sooner than we men do. I think over the years about the men that came in. I could tell the men that were being dragged. Their heel marks. You know, and you know, there was no ring in the nose or anything like that. But I could tell it was like, "Listen, you're not going to want to live in the same house with me if you don't go to church with me this morning." And, you know, the guys that, you know, they stood around the coffee pots and they hung out, you know, away from everybody else. And I'd come in and those guys were there looking all dressed up. I'm sure their wives pampered them to get them looking as righteous as they could. But they were really doubters, most of them. Or maybe they were just still questioning. You know, I'm not sure this is something that's for me. I understand it's for my wife. Ladies need this kind of stuff, right? I don't need this kind of stuff. A lot of things I could do on a Sunday morning. Why would I be doing something like this? But, you know, the ladies a lot of times get it. And then with the men, it's sort of like Nicodemus who came at night, you know. The guys want it to be their choice and they have to do it on their terms. But I've seen so many men over the years, because you ladies were so faithful, end up coming along. Excuse me. Well, here we have Jesus appearing to the other women. We're going to have a lot more witness now. And because of time, we'll move on. And then we have the guards reporting to the rulers what has happened. And so the rulers all decide, listen, we're going to go ahead, spread the story. His disciples came at night, stole him away while we slept. And then we have the disciples that are on the road to Emmaus. You remember that, right? They're walking along, and they're downcast and they're frustrated and their world's falling apart. In fact, as they're walking along, Jesus just sort of shows up. And he didn't go, "Hey, yo, it's me." You know, he didn't do that. I see some humor in this. And I believe even at our most difficult, challenging times, if we just pause and open our eyes and say, "God, open my eyes to see," we'll find out that Jesus shows up right there too. I think footprints, that little saying that most difficult times, why is there only one set of footprints? And then, "Well, I picked you up and carried you at that time." Here's Jesus. He shows up. He's walking along with him. And he asks them questions, you know, draws near. This is in Luke chapter 24, down in verse 16 and 17. "But their eyes were holden," or "their eyes were blinded, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, 'What communications are these that you have one with another? What are you talking about as you're walking along?' They stood looking sad, one of them named Cleophas, answering, said unto him, 'Dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem and not know what's going on? Do you not know what's happening? What's come to pass here?'" And then they tell him what's happened, and I'm just skipping along the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And they said, "He was a mighty prophet, mighty indeed, the word before God and all the people," and how the chief priests and rulers, they tell him the whole story. They're telling Jesus this whole story, how he was crucified. And then they say this, "But we had hoped that it was he who should someday deliver, redeem Israel. Yea, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things have come to pass. And now there's certain women," there's women, "that are saying they went to the tomb and his body's gone and they've seen visions of angels and they're saying he's alive." And so these two Emmaus walkers are like challenged by these witnesses and they still do not get it at all. It doesn't make sense to them. And then, of course, you know, as they're walking along, they end up at their home, "Come stay with us." And when it was time to break the bread, and it came to pass, verse 30, "When he sat down with them to meat, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them." Now understand that while they were walking, Jesus gave them a message that started at the beginning and went all the way through. The prophets, every passage. Wouldn't you like to have a recording of what he shared that day? We don't have a record of that. I would love to know how he spoke from the prophets from the beginning and the Torah and prophesied and clearly declared that Jesus was the Messiah. And they heard all of that and they're still not getting it. But when he broke the bread, then their eyes were open and they knew him. And I put into my notes that these were believers who had closed eyes. They believed in Jesus. They believed in the Word of God. They believed in the prophets. They believed all of that. But their eyes were closed and they couldn't see spiritually. They couldn't grasp it. They couldn't get a hold of it. But their eyes were opened when Jesus broke the bread, because apparently when he led in that meal, it was a special thing. He broke the bread. They saw that. He blessed it. And they said one to another. Now they say one to another, "Was not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us along the way?" Sometimes our hindsight may be better than our foresight. And sometimes we may look back over our life and we may be able to say, yes, Jesus showed up there. Yes, God was there. Yes, he was there. But during those times, maybe your eyes were closed. I know there have been times when mine have been. Report of the two disciples of the appearance to Simon Peter. Now we have two disciples that's testifying. Then we end up with the disciples together. All of this that I'm telling you all happened on Resurrection Day. This is all on Resurrection Day. But there's another meeting that happens. Afterwards, he was manifest unto the 11 themselves. He just showed up in the room with them and said, "Peace unto you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they beheld a spirit. He said unto them, "Why are you so troubled?" In Luke 24, "Reasoning in your heart, see my hands," he shows them, "my hands, my feet, that it is I. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you behold me having." They're still doubting, still questioning. "And when he had said this, he showed them his hands, his feet, while they were still disbelieving." I don't really get 41. It says they disbelieved for joy. That's an interesting way of saying it. Well, they were shocked. They were overwhelmed. And they didn't really know what to say. But they still, well, they're sort of convinced, but not totally convinced. It's almost like that man in Mark 9 where Jesus said, "All things are possible to those who believe. Do you believe?" And he said, "Yes, I believe." And then he goes, "Help my unbelief." I've prayed like that before myself. I hate to admit it. But then Jesus says, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and did eat before them. He's proving to them that he's not a ghost, but he's alive and he's there with him. And now we have all these witnesses, but there's one disciple missing. Thomas. Thomas was not there. In fact, John 20, verse 26 tells us, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were gathered, and Thomas was with them." And as I thought about this year, and I was in prayer, I realized that these 8 days have to be the darkest days of Thomas's life. Because everyone else now believes. The other disciples, they all believe, but Thomas does not believe. And they're trying to convince him, and he just doesn't believe. A day goes by, 2 days, 3 days. "I don't believe. I don't believe." And for Thomas, he wasn't a part of the resurrection day. And it's not because God didn't want him to be, but it was because he just could not get a hold of it. And he still is alone, struggling. Finally, it gets to the 8th day, and now we're in a whole week has gone by. And here we find that Thomas is with them, and then, wow. Aren't you glad that God loves you enough that he'll go out of the way to make sure you understand He loves you, and he wants you in his family. He did that for Peter, didn't he? He said, make sure you tell the disciples, oh yes, and Peter. Peter may have thought, I'm no longer a disciple. But Jesus said, oh no, no, you are. Tell Peter. Peter's already in. So now it's Thomas, and Thomas is with them. Somehow or another, they have been wearing down his fear and his questions and his dashed hopes. And somehow or another, Thomas at least came to hang out with the rest of the team. But here, now it's a week plus later, Thomas is with them. Jesus cometh. This is John chapter 20. Peace be to you, with you. And then Jesus speaks to Thomas. Reach your finger and see my hands. So reach hither thy finger. In my thoughts, I see three things happening here. Reach your finger. I want you to personally reach out. See my hands. Here's my hands. And reach hither with thy hand. Not just your finger. I want you to take your hand and feel my side. I want you to take your finger and I want you to touch my hands. Thomas. You see, for Mary, all he had to say was, Mary. And she got it. And some of you get it quicker than some others. Your ears are open. You're listening. You receive quicker. But listen, God loves the Thomas too. And maybe you're more of a Thomas. Maybe you're more of a doubter. Maybe it's not that he wanted to doubt. It's just, I believe that if Thomas was interviewed, I believe Thomas would say, give me a break. I was there. I saw what happened. I saw that he was beaten. I saw them smash the crown into his forehead, blood was running, he was barely alive. I saw them nail him to that tree. And then I saw him take his last breath. I even heard him say, it's finished. So how could there be anything else? I believe Thomas could have verbalized his position and justified it quite well. And I believe a lot of people this morning that are about ready to believe because God's found you, the 8 days are up. Your 8 days are up. You've had a season to question. You've had a season to struggle. You've had a season of aloneness. Your family maybe has prayed for you. They've believed for you. They've stood with you. And you are riding on the blessing and favor of your family's prayer. Somebody's praying for you. But let me tell you, 8 days are up. We are now in the end of the end time. It's time to get it right. It's time to give God an opportunity to be God. Take your finger of faith. Maybe that's all the faith you have. And maybe you only have one little finger. Take that little finger of faith and reach out to God this morning and say, God, I will touch you with the measure of faith I have. And maybe you say, I don't even have faith to take one finger. Then say, God, would you give me faith so I can at least touch you with my little finger? And then would you pray, God, open my eyes so I can see. And then give me faith where I can move beyond my little finger and I can see. And that's understanding. That's comprehension. That's God actually touching your heart. That's the Holy Spirit on the inside. And maybe someone on the outside. And on the inside, in your heart, there's a knock on the door of your heart. And maybe you have walked with Jesus a long time. And maybe yet this morning you find yourself in your faith a ways away. That was Thomas. Thomas had believed. He had walked with Jesus. He had been involved in ministry. He was a part of the evangelistic team. He had seen the miracles. He had been there. But yet, his circumstances, I saw him die. But now Jesus shows up again. Isn't that mercy? That's grace. That's awesome. I love it. I'm so glad it's in the Word of God. I'm so glad that we don't just have everybody instantly getting it, because I didn't instantly get it and some of you didn't instantly get it. But I want you to know it's not too late to get it this morning. That's what the resurrection's about. That God so loved the world. The anthropos, not the cosmos. The cosmos is everything He created. And He created it for our good, and it is good, and we thank God for it. But God so loved every person. Aren't you glad? That includes us. So, put it into my side. And then Jesus says this to him, "Be not faithless, but believe." Be not faithless, but believe. I want to say that to each one of you, and I want you to be able to say that to one another. Be not faithless, but believe. Just believe. Believe. And Thomas believed. When I was in India, they said Thomas came to our nation and he was martyred here. That's what they told me in India. He was martyred here. Thomas brought the gospel to us, to our nation. And he died here ministering. He was the word is marturios. Marturios, does that sound like anything to you? Martyr. But when we look into the scriptures, it's the word for witness. It's one who has seen and experienced something that is so profoundly real that you're willing to lay down your life rather than deny its reality. This was Thomas. Yes, Thomas got it. And so Thomas says, he answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my Lord, and my God."
Abundant Life Ministries has moved to a new location in Palm City, Florida. We're currently meeting at the Palm City Civic Organization. It's located at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for weekly services. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
How much will they take before?